To say, I've been admiring the various mask styles that are in this room this morning. Of course, there's the medical look, you know, many of you have that. And then there's the face shields, very interesting. That's a look. There's the homemade. Some of you who are sewers out there have made ones for your family. Very good. And then I saw some guy with a Guy Fawkes mustache kind of back there. Very nice look, brother. Good job. Then you have kind of like the balaclava, you know, the bank robber kind of look, and then designer masks, you know. I mean, it's just amazing what variety there is and creativity. So this morning, we're going to start a message that I'm going to complete on August 9th, 2 weeks from now, on the subject of abandonment. Specifically, what are the resources and promises of the Lord that He offers us that can help fortify us when people are abandoning us or we feel abandoned to circumstances that God doesn't change, that He won't take away, that He doesn't prevent? And so with that in mind, let's seek the Lord together in prayer, and let's ask Him by the power of the Spirit to visit with us and speak to our hearts today. Lord Jesus, thank You so much that the Word of God can never be masked. It can never be covered up. It can never be silenced. And so we would humbly ask You on this day of masking, on this ongoing process of pandemic and protection, and I pray that You would grace us out of Your Word, not just with sterile facts, but with living truth in the power of the Spirit to our very core of our being. Would You speak and grace us where we live and move and have our being? Would You fortify us and empower us for such a time as this? Would You cheer and comfort and encourage us? And would You allow us to finish strong, however long this situation goes on, and represent You, show You to a world that is full of doubts and animosity to Your very name? We ask You these things in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. So we're going to go to the Upper Room Discourse, Jesus' great message in John 14 through 17. We're going to look at some things there that are very relevant to what you and I are all going through. Because I don't know about you, but I've lived long enough to experience abandonment by people. They might be former friends. Do you have former friends in your life? Do you have absentee parents or deceased friends and relatives? You know, some abandonment is involuntary. There's people who want to stay, but death takes them, and we feel their absence. We're left behind, and they've gone. Abandonment is a large issue. We could have indifferent institutions and groups of people that let us down. People who were once close but are no longer there for us, or who turned a blind eye to our woes, or who forsook us in an hour of need. There's not a person alive on earth who has not experienced the sorrow and agony of abandonment to one degree or another. Or how about when chronic illness or chronic pain strikes that God doesn't remove? We're abandoned to a circumstance that He doesn't take away. Maybe we've been abandoned to a pandemic. I don't know about you, but I'm totally ready for it to be over. Amen? Yes? Fed up? Like, way fed up, okay? So we're all in the same boat. And where is God? What's God doing? Will He not hear our cry? Why has He let this happen and all that's coming from this? And here's another thing. You know, we have people who can't be here physically present because of medical conditions or vulnerability, and so they're profoundly isolated. They're alone right now. And where's the grace for them? So this tension, this mystery of abandonment, why would God let us experience this level, this terrible thing of feeling terribly alone and forsaken and all by ourselves and having people we love leave us or be taken from us. So I want to take a quick tour through Jesus' loving message to his disciples in John 14 through 16. Turn in your Bibles to the beginning of chapter 14. We're going to look at verses 1 through 3. So there's five great comforts that Jesus gives his disciples who are remaining while he is leaving them. And he is going to encourage them and shore them up. And imagine, if you will, by the end of chapter 13, Jesus has told his disciples two things. Number one, I'm leaving you. I'm going away, and you can't come with me. Physical abandonment, physical departure. There's going to be a separation between his disciples and him. And the second thing he tells them is, oh, by the way, you're all going to fail me. You're going to run away from me and save your own skin. You're going to leave me to my fate and not go through what I'm going to go through with me. And even you, Peter, are going to deny me three times before the rooster crows tomorrow morning early. Can you imagine the emotional shock of those two unexpected and negative announcements that Jesus made to his disciples? It's kind of like being told there's this pandemic and you have to wear masks and you can't, you're locked down and we don't know why or how, and it's just frustrating and frightening when we know we're going to go through something alone and or God won't take something away. We feel abandoned. So Jesus begins in the first part of John 14 with a wonderful promise. And what he says basically is this: my physical separation from you is only temporary. Here's what he says: do not let your heart be troubled. You believe in God. You trust in God. Trust also in me. Now, it's interesting, the Greek tense here, you know, the same exact spelling can mean either a command or a description, like you believe in God versus believe in God. Make sense? So what Jesus is doing here in this message is like, you know, You currently trust God. You're a faithful, Messiah-following, observant Jew. You trust Yahweh God, the God of the Old Testament. You trust him. I'm gonna ask you now to do something new. Trust me as well. Put me in the same category as Yahweh and trust me. Trust me. I don't know if you've noticed, but we are not a trusting society. We are a skeptical society. We distrust institutions. Every institution, the trust level has just tanked over the last 30, 40 years. We are a very distrustful people because we've been disappointed, let down, abandoned, failed, lied to over and over and over again. So our faith in our governing institutions and groups that we belong to or whatever has gone down. And so we're defaulting to this distrustful, skeptical, and we put that trust that we're withdrawing from institutions, we put it, where's that all that trust going to? It's going to the self. So we're self-trusters, self-reliant, self-dependent, self-sufficient. And that's not biblical. That may be common, but it's not Christian. It's our default setting, but it's not where God wants us to be. What he's saying, what Jesus is saying is, trust me. I know it looks bad. I know I've just told you you're going to fail me. You're going to abandon me. You're going to deny me. And I know I've just told you I'm leaving and you can't come with me. I know right now you're scratching your heads and you're wondering, what is up with that? And so I'm going to give you the key, and that is, trust me. Don't just believe things about me, entrust yourself to me. put you in my hands and don't take him back. Make sense? Take yourself out of your hands and put yourself in my hands wholeheartedly, all your weight on me. Trust me. I have a plan. And what is that plan? In my Father's house are many dwelling places. Oh, that's nice. You know, heaven's got a lot of room. That's great. That's wonderful. If it were not so, I would have told you, okay, yeah, for I go to prepare a place for who? You. I'm not leaving just to leave. I'm leaving with divine purposes and plans in mind to do some things in the heavens so that when the time comes, there's plenty of room for you. Oh, that's cool. If I go and prepare a place for you, here's the promise, I will come again. I'm coming back. I'm returning. Why? I'm going to receive you to myself. I'm going to take you to me. That where I am, there you will be also. There's going to come a time where we will never be physically separated ever, ever, ever again. This separation, this physical sense of distance and abandonment will be forever resolved. It won't be forever. The time is coming. I don't know about you, but have you ever watched the news for when a soldier comes back from deployment, like in the Middle East, and the news cameras are at the elementary school? And I remember, you know, I don't know about you, but I'll have the news on and like do stuff and kind of tune it out because most of it's just fluff and doesn't really tell you much you haven't heard before. But this one got me looking because it was this soldier who got a surprise early release. His deployment was over, and he was coming home, and they didn't tell his little six-year-old girl that daddy was coming. And so she has her back to the cameras, and she's playing and doing stuff with her friends, and in walks this you know, big soldier dude, comes in there, and she turns around, and she sees him. Daddy. The pain of separation from her daddy is over. And what does she do next? I think we can guess. She runs to her dad. He scoops her up in his arms. And they're weeping tears of joy because of the reunion. They're so happy. The agony of physical separation is finally over. Daddy's home. And right now, we're like that little girl. We feel the absence, physical absence of our Lord, and it's a root of sorrow. But my dear friends, Jesus says, I'm coming again. I'm going to receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also, forever and ever and ever and ever. Trust him. Trust him. You have his word. He will not abandon you. He says later in the passage, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Verse 18. Trust him. Don't misinterpret his physical absence to mean he has abandoned you and doesn't care. Understand it's temporary and the time of glorious reunion where all our tears will be wiped away and the joy of being with him and in his presence forever will just dissolve all that pain. Trust him. Well, you might think, well, that's all great for there and then. high in the sky by and by, you know. But what about right now? Right here, right now. Is there nothing? Is it all just wait until the return and reunion with the Lord and we're just kind of on our own and abandoned and whatever? Not at all. Jesus builds on his first thought, if you'll go down now to verse 16 of chapter 14. He promises a very important promise in this passage. In fact, five times in this upper room message, he comes back, he circles back to this great promise that's linked to his departure physically, ascension to heaven, and then with the Father sending something to us, not just to us, but in us. And this promise is critical to living the Christian life. Can I be so humbly bold? Now, I'm not a Pentecostal. I'm a Christian. I believe the Bible. Okay? You know what I'm saying? I'm not coming with an agenda. That's what I'm trying to tell you. I'm coming with a straight scripture that simply says this, and that's this. Jesus says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. Well, that's nice. That he may be, here's the key word, with you forever. That is, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see him or know him, but you know him, because he abides with you and will be, here's the key level up promise, he will be in you. So in other words, one of the reasons Jesus ascended to the Father was to send the Holy Spirit, not just to be hovering around us, not just to be, you know, floating around somewhere, but to make his very home, his everlasting temple inside the heart of every single Christian on earth, all over the globe. We have the power of the Spirit, the presence of the Spirit, and where the Spirit is, now listen to this, one of the main things the Holy Spirit does, listen, is to minister to our hearts the spiritual presence of Jesus our Lord. Amen. Into us. In fact, it says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. In the same passage, it talks about the Spirit indwelling every believer. In other words, people, because we have the Spirit, sorry, got a mask failure going on. Because we have the Spirit, we have the very presence of Christ, the spiritual presence of Christ in us 100% of the time, every single moment of every day of our lives. The Bible says the Spirit is in you. If you're a genuine born-again Christian, you have been immersed into the Holy Spirit and made one body in Christ in the power of the Spirit, but the Spirit of God, now you are now the temple of the living God, and the Spirit of God dwells in you. Isn't it interesting? You take the Holy Spirit out of the Christian, and there is no Christian life. One of the things that is a challenge here is to trust what Jesus has just told us is true. If you truly know him and are born again, his very presence lives within you because the Spirit indwells you. And Jesus repeatedly says, I am with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. Believe the good news. Believe this good news. It doesn't say, unless a pandemic comes. It doesn't say, unless the government is unfriendly to you. It doesn't say, unless you get cancer. It doesn't say, as you age and lose all your friends to death preceding you and feel increasingly alone. There's no if. In fact, I would argue that when you feel abandoned, when you're in the same emotional place the disciples were in, that's when God levels up the application of this promise, the ministry of this promise into your very heart of hearts. If you have eyes and ears to see it, and by faith believe it, and live in it. There was a young Christian poet back in the early 1980s. And I was reading one of these Chuck Colson books from like the 90s, and it talked about the persecuted church. And there was one story in there of this young Christian poet girl, Irina. She was like just a teenager, and the authorities did not appreciate her poetry, which was being circulated among the underground church and was gaining her some notoriety. So they imprisoned her and threw her into solitary confinement in one of those Russian communist jails. You know, if you've ever seen any movies with, you know, bad places, not good places. Their hope was to break her. Their hope was to smash her faith, hoping the isolation would do their dirty work for them. She tells about entering that cell, hearing the door close behind her, clink, and experiencing the presence of God so thick you could cut it with a knife. God crammed that cell full of his presence. Instead of breaking her faith, it cemented her faith. It deepened her faith because the presence of the living God in the power of the Spirit, the presence of the risen Lord, is a ministry of the Spirit, and it is living within our hearts if we truly know him and are born again at all times. Even in the worst of jails and isolation, God is there in the power of the Spirit. My friends, is God here this morning with his people? Amen. Is God with us in this pandemic? Is the Spirit working and ministering, even if we're frustrated and kicking at this and rebelling? And, yeah, I see some of the mask people doing stuff. Okay, you know. I mean, there's that rebellious thing, isn't there, in us? We don't submit easily to painful circumstances. At least I don't. Maybe I'm rare. I suspect I'm in a very big boat. Amen? Even when we're being naughty, even when we're being stinkers, God still loves us. God still graces and ministers his presence and his promises to us, especially as sinners who need a Savior. And we need a Savior every single day of our lives. Trust him. Believe the good news. Not only is his physical absence temporary, but in the indwelling Spirit, he's with us. So, Matt, is 11 o'clock kind of our golden hour? Yeah, kind of? Well, you know what's great about a part two message? I can just stop right here and we can just continue the thought. Amen. Yes. You were beginning to get a little nervous, weren't you? Okay. So let's pray. I mean, these are two mighty promises. There's a lot to this. Let's just again ask the Lord. Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you that it's not our performance or the strength of our commitment. It's your love and your grace and your commitment to us that makes us alive in Christ and filled with his presence. And so I pray, Lord, where we have been distrustful, where we have been rebellious, where we have not understood why and felt abandoned to negative, painful circumstances, abandoned to things we cannot change and cannot stop, I pray, Lord, in those very, very places where we're struggling, even in secret, even in places we hardly can tell another person, I pray, would you refresh each and every one of us here and those listening to this in the fresh promise of your return and the promise of the Holy Spirit ministering your presence to us until that time. Please build us up, strengthen us in our faith, and let us be overflowing with those rare things of the Spirit that would make people see that Jesus really is who he claims to be. Please use us in this time. Take us out of ourselves. Remove us out from that pit we're in. Turn us outward. Fill us full to overflowing and turn us loose. In Jesus' name, amen.